Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim Daf Yud Zayin. We begin at the very bottom of Tes Zayin Omud Beis with the Mishnah Halacha Beis. And the Mishnah begins, Heichan hayu hayishtachavoyos ha'elu. We mentioned in yesterday's shir that there were 13 times that they bowed down when they would walk around the Beis HaMikdash, so at each one of these areas they would bow down. So we had said yesterday that the opinion in the Mishnah was that they bowed down at the places where there were gates, but we'll see another opinion today that has a different explanation for why they bowed down. In any event, the Mishnah starts with Heichon ayu hayishtachavoyos ha'elu. Where were they bowing down? So the opinion that we have is that there were 13 gates in surrounding the Azara, and Arba Bitsophon, four were on the north, the Arba Bedarim, four were on the south, opposite. Shalosh b'mizrach, three were on the northern side, ushtay b'marv, and two were on the southern side. So 4, 4, 5, and 3, that adds up to 13, keneged shlosha asar sharm, against the 13 gates. Now, what exactly are these 13 gates? The Mishnah now tells us. We start off with the southern side, dromim smuchim l'marv. We start off with the most southwestern one of the gates, and that was called the Shara Elyon. That's why it was called the uppermost gate, the Shara Elyon, because it was the most uppermost one, because as you go from east to west, there's a slight incline in the Beis HaMikdash, so that was the uppermost gate, Shara Elyon. Next to it, going on an eastern direction, on the southern side, Shara Delek, that was the gate where the Tiklun Chatitin tells us, they would go through this gate, V'derech Shom Hayu Machnisim, they brought the wood in through this gate, and that's why it was called Shar HaDelek. Next gate down, going from west to east, is Shar HaBechoros. Why was this called Shar HaBechoros? So the Tikkun Chatan tells us, Shemachnisim Shom HaBechoros HaNishchotim. This was the area where all the firstborn animals that were brought in would come in through this side. They could be shechted on any part of the Azara. So they kept the north mostly for the korbanos of Kodesh Kodashim that had to be shechted on the northern side. And therefore they shechted any other korbanos often on the southern side. So the Bechoros, which were Kodesh Kalim, were shechted on the southern side. So they came in through this gate. And the fourth gate on the southern side, the most eastern gate, was the Shar HaMayim. We'll learn a lot more about the Shar HaMayim in the Gemara. But for now, the Mishnah tells us, the Loma Nikwa Shmo Shar HaMayim, what is this called Shar HaMayim? Shabo Machnisin Sluchis, and we turn to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Shonisa HaMayim Bechag. This is where they brought in the water, which was used for Nisach HaMayim during every day of Sukkos. So this was a special libation, the water libations that were done during Sukkos, and this was the gate that they brought the water into the Azara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Bo HaMayim Mefakim. Now this is where we're going to spend a lot of time in the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov tells us that the water is going to come out of the Beis HaMikdash eventually. It seems to suggest from the statement that he's making that it already started to come out from the Amma, the stream of water that went through the Beis HaMikdash. It already started in those days to have a little bit of water coming out. Some suggest that this is referring to the future. And Vasidin Lios Yotzim Mitachas Mirtin Abayis, and it's going to come out in much greater amounts, as we'll see in the Gemara, eventually B'Ezus Hashem, with the building of the third Beis HaMikdash from Harab Yomeinu. And this is going to be a discussion that we'll have from some of the very esoteric nevuos from the end of Yecheskel, which will discuss this water flowing out of the Beis HaMikdash. So those are the four gates on the southern side. Lumasan, opposite them, Bitsophon on the northern side. So the most western gate on the northern side, the four gates over there, so the westernmost one, Smuchim Memarav, was known as the gate of Shar Yechonya. This was Nebuch, the gate that Yechonya, who was a Melech in Yisrael, we'll learn about him as well. We discussed him a little bit yesterday. He was the son of Yehoyakim, who was the son of Yoshio, and when he became the king, he was only the king for 3 months till Nebuchadnezzar brought him to Bavel, and he left the Beis HaMikdash through this gate. That's why it's known as Shar Yechonya. Next one, eastern on the northern side, was Shar HaKarban. Why was this called Shar HaKarban? So the Tiklun Chatitin tells us, Shomach Nisim Kochi Kadoshim, Shishchitosim Batsofim, as opposed to the Shar HaBechoris, which is on the southern side, because there the Kachay Kalim was shechted. So here on this gate, they brought in the korbanos, there were Kachay Kadoshim. And that's why this was called the Shara Korban, because all the Kachay Kadoshim korbanos had to be shechted on the northern side. The next easternmost gate, the third one, was the Shar Hanoshim. Why was this called Shar Hanoshim? So the Tikkun Chatitin tells us, Shebo Nichnosos Lismoch al Korbanon. The women who came in who wanted to do smicha, they weren't obligated to do smicha, but according to the opinion, they said that women could do smicha on their korbanos, so this is where they entered into the Beis HaMikdash to do smicha on their korbanos. And finally, the fourth gate, the most easternmost gate on the northern side, was known as Shar Hashir. Tiklun Charetin explains, Derech Shamayu Machlisim Kleishir. This is where the Levi brought their instruments into the Azara, and that's why it was known as the Sharashir. Now, the Mishnah goes back and says, why was the first gate on the northern side, the most western gate, called Shayichonya? Shabo Yotze Yichonya Begalus. So as I mentioned, when Yichonya was taken into Galus after his very short 3-month and 10-day reign, so he was leaving the Beis HaMikdash. He said goodbye to the Beis HaMikdash going out through that gate. Now we have 5 gates left. Shabbi Mizrach Shar Niknar. On the Mizrach side, there were 3 gates. The first and most important one was called Shar Niknar. It was named that because of the famous nace that occurred. Niknar bought these very large, beautiful copper gates in Mitzrayim. He took them on a boat. There was a big storm on the boat. They had to throw one of the gates off, and he was very upset. He didn't let them throw the other gate off. The storm abated, and they reached the port of Akko, and they miraculously found the other gate in the water with them. It traveled the whole way with them by a nace, and both of these gates were always left up in the Beis HaMikdash. Even when they converted many of the other gates to gold, they left these gates there either because they shone so brightly because they were a brilliant copper, or because the nace was done for them. So that was the main entranceway from the Ezras Noshim into the Azorah, into the Ezras Yisrael, and that was Shar Niknar. And there were 2 little gates to the right and left of it, Ushnei Pishpishin Hayulo, Echad Mimino Ve'echad Mismolo, 1 to the right, 1 to the left. That's the simple understanding. Some say that these little gates were actually in the doors of the Shar Niknar, but the simple understanding is they were to the right and to the left. So one was to the northern side of Shar Niknar, one was to the southern side of Shar Niknar, and those were the 3 gates that were on the eastern side. And finally, opposite that, on the western side, behind the Beis HaMikdash proper, in the exit behind the western side of the Azara, so Ushnayim Bimarav of Lohyolem Shem, they were rarely used, and they didn't even have a name. Okay, those are the 13 gates. Gemara starts off and says, Masnisin Abba Yosa ben Chonon is the Girsa that we have, but we delete that. And Masnisin Abba Yosa ben Yochanan he, that our Mishnah is following the opinion, which the Tikkun Charetin tells us, is stated Beferish in the Sof Perek Beis in Midos. It says this Beferish, that our Mishnah is quoted there in the name of Abba Yosa ben Yochanan. The Omar Kinegid Shlosh Osor Sharon, the Hishtach Avoyos that they did, was Kinegid these 13 gates. However, Baram, Kirabanan, according to Rabbanan, Shiva Sharm HaYubazara, there are only 7 gates in the Azara, and the Mishnayos and Midos tell us that they held that there were only 7 gates, and it lists over there which 7 gates were present. So this leads to the obvious question, Al Datayu the Rabbanan, Hechaniyu Hishtach Avoyos Halalu, according to the Rabbanan, where were these 13 Hishtach Avoyos? Now the Tikkun Charetin tells us that everybody seemed to know that there were 13 Hishtach Avoyos, that was a well-accepted fact that there were 13 Hishtach Avoyos. So the only question was, where were those 13 Hishtach Avoyos? Because if it's not connected to 13 gates, then what was the rationale behind it, according to Rabbanan? So Gemara says, Kiahi the Taninon Tamon. We learned in a Mishnah in Midos, where it lists over there that Shlosh Esrei Pirotzos Hayubo, that during the time of the Chashmonaim, when they defeated the Yevonim, the Assyrian Greeks. So the Assyrian Greeks had made various breaches in the wall of the Beis HaMikdash in the area known as the Soreg. The Soreg was an area that was outside the Azara. Outside the Azara was an area called the Chil, and outside of that there was a fence that was called the Soreg. Most say it went all the way around the Azara on all 4 sides, and that was the demarcation where a person who wasn't Jewish wasn't allowed to enter. So the Yevonim, they were not happy about that, and when they basically defeated Klai Yisrael before the Chashmonaim defeated them, so they breached this wall to show that we can go in wherever we want. So they made 13 protzos, breaches, in that wall, Shepartzum Malchayavim, that the Yevonim breached. And then when the Chashmonaim won, the whole story of Hanukkah, the Chozru, they went Ugidorum B'nei Chashmonaim, and they fenced them in. And therefore, we remind ourselves of this tremendous nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Chashmonaim to defeat the Yevonim, V'gozru Kenegdon Shloshes Rehishtach Avoyos. And every time we passed one of those breaches that was now fenced off, it was fixed. So we bowed down, recognizing the wonderful miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for the Jewish people. Now, we begin an esoteric discussion on the prophecies that are listed towards the end of Yechezkel, and we're specifically going to discuss the 47th parak in Yechezkel with some very unusual and strange ideas of water flowing out of the Beis HaMikdash. So first we start off with a statement from Zechariah, which alludes to the same idea. Ksiv, it says in Zechariah, Vayah b'yamahu, Yetzu mayim chayim yushalayim v'gomer. On that day, there will be Mayim Chayim. This is a spring water that will come out from Yerushalayim, coming out from the Beis HaMikdash. And the Braisa tells us, Tani, mi Beis Kodesh Kodoshim, that this water flowed out of the Kodesh Kodoshim, and it went until the Paroches, Ara Paroches, and that was the Paroches that separated the Kodesh Kodoshim from the Kodesh, and the water at that point in time was only a very, very small amount. It was Kikarnei Silai V'chilai. It was like the horns of the Kilai and Silai. What are those Silai and Kilai? So these, the Tikvun Chadatin tells us, are Mine Shavlul, the types of snails, Shekarneim Dakim, they're very, very thin antenna, or horns, Vishalchogov, and the next ones, which are the grasshoppers, had thicker antenna, Mehem, and then the subsequent things are also going to be each one thicker. So the water expanded and expanded. It started with a very, 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 very small trickle. There was only the size of these snails' antenna. Then it got to the size, as we see in the next statement, Min HaParochas, when it flowed from the Parochas Ad Mizbeach Hazov, when it flowed from the Parochas to the Mizbeach Hazov, which was in the middle of the Kodesh. So it started already to expand a little bit. Kikarnei Chagavim now was as thick as the antenna of grasshoppers. And then it flowed further. Mizbeach Hazov, Adazoros. It went out from the Mizbeach Hazov in the middle of the Kodesh, in the middle of the Hechel, and it went out of the Hechel into the Azara. The Azara was made up of various sections. It had the Ezes Yisrael, it has the Ezes Kohanim, and then it had the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. So this is called Azoros, into the different Azoros that were in the Azara, and now it was already thick as Kichut Shel Shisi. It was as thick as what we call the warp thread. These are the vertical threads of the loom. You have the Erev, which are the horizontal threads of the womb, which are even thicker. So at this point, it had the thickness, the water was expanding, and it had the thickness of the Shesi type of thread. And then Min HaZaros, when it flowed from there, Ad Miftan Abayis, until the base of the bayis of the house. So therefore, at that point, it got even thicker. Now it expanded to the size of the chut of the horizontal threads of the loom, which is a little bit bigger. And mikan ve'elech, and it spread further. It went out further. And at this point, mikan ve'elech, it's called kemipi hapach, like water flowing out of a jar, of a pach, of a flask. Again, it went from a little trickle, getting a little bit more. So now it's flowing like water coming out of a flask. And then it says, Ksiv, and here we go to the Psukim from Yecheskel. It tells us, Vinei Mayim Mepakim, the Lashon of the Pach, comes from over here. Vinei Mayim Mepakim Menakosef HaYemonis. Now the water flowed out on the Azara area, and it flowed out on what's called the right side, Yemonis, which the Tikvun Chadatin tells us, as you're leaving there, it's on the southern side. When you're leaving the Hechel, and it's to your right, so that's going to be on the southern side. And it says, B'tzeso ish, kodim, v'kav b'yodo, when a person would be going out, kodim, going towards the east, and he has a measuring stick in his hand, v'yomod elef bo'ama, and he measured out 1,000 ama, and the water, v'yavirin b'mayim, me afsim. Now the water had reached the level of being me afsim. The Tikvun Chadatin tells us, shehiu amayim, Ad Hakar Sulaim. The water now would float, and it was enough of a stream that it would reach up to a person's ankles. The Me'afasim is the Kar Sulaim, which means your ankles. Ad Kar Sula. That's what the Gemara says. Then they measured further. Vayomar Elef, Vayarinim B'mayim. Now we have the word Me', but it should be Mayim. And it reaches to Mayim Birkayim, and the Birkayim are the knees. So Ad Birkaya. So now the water is getting much, much bigger and wider, and you now have a very significant amount of water. Then you measure another 1,000 amah. Vayomar Elef, Vayavirinim Me' Mosnayim. Now it goes up to the loins, up to the waist, Ad Mosnaya. And then the water goes and expands further. Mikan Ve'elech, the water is flowing so much. So now, when you measure it, Vayomar Elef, you go measure out another 1,000. So, Nachal Asher Lo'uchal Lavor. It is now like a large river that you can't go and pass. Afilu lebirunin, even birunin. The Tikvun Chadatin tells us that these birunin are svino gedola, large ships, eno yochol lababo. Even a large vessel can't go and cross this water, it's so strong. My time, why not? Because the pasuk says, betzi adir lo yavrenu. Even these large, big ships can't go and pass this area. Why? Mipnei ma? So the Gemara tells us, ki go hamayim me sohu. The waters had reached such a large amount that they were meisachu. What is meisachu? Mao meisachu. So it says miloshut. You can't even go and swim or a boat across such an area because the water is so big and strong. Amr of Huna, or some of the Gersa Huna, but Asrin, in our place, we call this Karul Lishayota sachvona. We call somebody that's swimming, it's called a sachvona. And that's the parallel to the word me sachu. You can't go across these waters. You can't swim across these waters. Alternatively, uperas yodav bikirbo kashe yafares hasocha lischos. So this is another pasuk that we have in Yeshaya. And there it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stretch out his hand, paras yodav, and it will be like a swimmer stretches out his hands when he goes to swim. Mahu l'schos, what does this word mean, l'schos? Some of Yossi, be Rabbi Bun, and we have the gears of Bibun, but we'll call it Rabbi Bun. Mayin de mismalin bi'oma. This is water, which is basically talked about in the entire world. What does this mean, de mismalin bi'oma? So the Tikkun Charet tells us, Mirov Pirsum Gidulosin. It is well spoken about because it's so famous because of its greatness of the waters. That's the first shot. Inami, second shot. Kemosha Kosov Likaman. We're going to see in a moment, Lahatir Peh Ilman, that this water was spoken about because it opens up the mouth of people. It has therapeutic properties. Shal Yodam, Yuyucholim Ladaber. People who weren't able to speak when they drink this water, they would be able to speak. And they'll have an additional ruchnius aspect to them. Originally, the praise only came up from the water. Then the whole world will eventually talk about it. Again, these are very esoteric ideas. The Gemara continues and it says, Uksiv, Bayomahu ye mokor niftoch lebeis David, uliyoshve Yerushalayim, lechatos ulanida. That this water that's flowing out over here, this spring water, is going to be for the people living in between the Beis David and the Yoshe Yerushalayim. They'll be able to use this water to immerse themselves in for Anida, as well as if they need Mechatas, they can use this water. It has the status of spring water to be used for Mechatas. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'shem, I guess we have Rabbi Nosson or Rabbi Yonah's son. He says as follows, Mi Beis David, you had Yoshe Yerushalayim. What does that mean? In that area, which was known as the Beis David, this is Har Tzion, up until Yoshe Yerushalayim, going out to the rest of the city of Yerushalayim, these waters were both Kisherim Lanida Ulechatos. Anida could go and immerse herself in this water. Anida can go and immerse in Mayim Chaim, that's not a problem. And you need Mayim Chaim for Echatos, and this had the status of being Mayim Chaim. However, beyond that point, Mikan Ve'elach, it already became mixed. Mei Taruvos Heim, it became mixed with rainwater, and therefore it is only good for a nida, kishem lenida, because a nida can go in either a spring or into a body of water like a mikvah. So it was good for a nida to immerse itself in. However, psula mechatas. Mechatas has to be pure spring water, and this was rainwater, and you can't use this for mechatas. That's the first opinion. On the other hand, Omer Rabbi Elazar, and then we delete the words Rav Meir Omer, he agrees that Mibes David Biad Yoshe Yerushalayim Kishem Lenidul Chatas. He agrees with the first statement over here that we just brought down in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, in the name of Rav Yonah's son. So he agrees with that part, that Anida could go and immerse here, and they could use this water in the first part for Mechatas as well. But he says, Mikan Ve'elech, after you leave the area of Yerushalayim, then it's no good for anything. Mikan Ve'elech, it's now called Me Katfrisios Hain. It is now water that is on a slope, it's on an incline, and therefore, Psula Anida Lechatas, it's no longer good for the Mechatas, because it's mixed in with the rainwater, and therefore, it's not pure spring water, but it's even not even good for Anida, because Anida is only allowed to go in either a Mayan or in a Ashborin, a mikvah, but can't go in both. A mikvah cannot have moving water. That's why when we have a mikvah, we have to make sure it's sealed very well, so none of the water is flowing in and out. It's not coming in, because a mikvah has to be sedentary. But here, the water is on an incline, so it's moving, and therefore it's no good. Now we've heard the Darshan of the Psukim in Perek Mem Zayin in Yecheskel. It says, Ksiv, Vayomer Eli, Hashem said to Yecheskel, Hamayim Ela Yotzim El Haglilo HaKadmono. These waters, they flow up. Now, the Tikkun Charet tells us that he's referring here not necessarily only to the waters that came out of the Beis HaMikdash, but he's talking about there were seven Sheva Yamim, Hein Sovivim L'Eretz Yisrael, that surround the Eretz Yisrael. And this is now the water that's flowing from the north going down south. So, these waters, Vayim Ha'ela Yotzim El Haglila Kadmona, they first go into the most northern area of the Galil, and that is an area, that water, that body of water, is Yam Shel Samchu, or some have the gears of Sivucha. And this is modern-day Israel. You can see that this is something known as the Lake Hula. I had the schus to visit this area, And around the time of the Hakamas of Medina, they said this would be a great farmland area, so they drained a lot of the lake, and unfortunately had a lot of ecological changes in the ground. The ground is not very farmable, and the ground actually is dangerous. It has a lot of sulfur in it. In any event, it is not a good area for planting. It's not a fertile area, but they drained a lot of that Hula Lake, and that was the area known as Yam Shel Samchu. And then that area, even to this day, there still is water there, and it flows down, and the Yardu, the gears that we have is El, but it should be Al Ha'arava, and this is an area that goes down to the plains, Zeh Yam Shel Tveria. This is what we call the Kinneret, or the Tiberian Sea, and this is a very, very large body of water. Much of the fresh water of Eretz Yisrael comes from the Kinneret. That's where the water flows, and then Ubo HaYama, it goes down to the Yama. What's that? It's Yam HaMelech. This is the Dead Sea, the Yam HaMelech. And it flows further from there, El HaYama HaMutzon. And from there, it flows out, Zeh Yam HaGadol. This refers to the Mediterranean. Now, we don't have these direct connections from the Yam HaMelech to the Mediterranean today, but there are subterranean channels, and there were other connections that have dried up that went from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and they will come back in the future again. So this is referring over here to the Yam of the Yam HaGadol. The Mediterranean Sea is known as Hayama HaMutzoyim. The Gemara asks, V'lo menikor shmo Mutzoyim. Why was it called Mutzoyim? Because Kineged Shtei Pamim Shiyotza. Because it overflowed at two points in time. This flow from, I guess, from the Dead Sea until the Mediterranean overflowed so much, Kineged Shtei Pamim Shiyotza, it overflowed Echad Bidor Enosh. One time this overflowed during the door of Enosh, which was the generation from between Adam and Noah. So it was the door Enosh. There was a certain generation where Enosh lived, and it was a bad generation. They started to sin, and Enosh was taken up to Shemayim. The Echad Bidor Haflogah. And the other time was after the Mabul, there was the Dor Haflogah that rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So each of these times, the Yam expanded, it grew out, it overflowed. That's why it's called Yom HaMutzoyim. Rabbi Lazar, that's again Rabbi Eliezer, B'shem Rabbi Chanina, said further, B'rishon Yotza ad Kalbria. The first time it overflowed in the generation of Enosh, Bedor Enosh, it overflowed all the way into Italy. Kalbria is a place in Italy. U'bashnia, the second time during the Dor HaFlaga, Yotza ad Kipe Barbaria. It went to the Barbary coast, Barbaria. That's the first version of this. Rav Acha b'shem Rabbi Chanina says no. But Rishona, the first time it overflowed in the days of Enosh, Bidor Enosh, Yotzat Kipi Barbaria. That's when it overflowed into the Barbary coast. Vashtia, the second time it overflowed in Dor HaFloga, Yotzat Akko, Yad Yafo. It went all the way up until Akko and Yafa. Okay? And we darshan this out, At Po, Tovo, Vilo, Sosif. It flowed up to here and no further. And Po and Ko are similar, and that's where we get the name Ad Akko. Akko means Ad Ko, Ad Po. Tovo Velo Sosif, it didn't go any further. And Yafa is the same thing. Ufo Yoshis Bigon Galecha. So it's a play on the word Ufo Yoshis. Ad Yofo Oshis Gon Galecha. Up until Yafo, it flowed and expanded. Nagmar says, Nicha Yama Rabba, I understand why the great Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean Sea, the Yama, the Milcha, and the Dead Sea, they needed to have these magical waters flowing into them to sweeten them. Mishvil Lemiskon, that they should get sweetened. So we understand that very, very well. We want to have sweet water. Fresh water is much more better for people than having the salt water. So we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that these waters overflowed so they would be able to go and sweeten the Yam HaMelach, which is the saltiest water on the face of the earth, but it'll someday become drinking water, and as well the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean, which is salt water, and it'll become sweet. However, Yama de Tveria and Yama de Samchu, but this Hula Lake and the Kinneret, so they're already sweet water. So why would you need additional water to flow into them to sweeten them? So the Gemara answers, Larabos de Gosam, that's to increase the number of species of fish that would be in those areas. Dechsibbe, because it says in Yecheskel as well, Lemina Tied de Gosam, that there will be lots of different minim species over there in those lakes. Lemine Minim Tied de Gosam, which means that there'll be many more species now. When you add these additional waters, you're bringing in additional fish as well, which is a big bracha. Tani, we learned in a bright, so Amr Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel said, Maisa Sholachti Litzidon, I went to the place called Sidon, and they view Lifonai, they brought in front of me, Yosef Mishlosh Meos Mine Dogim, 300 different species. The number 300 is obviously an exaggeration, it means a lot. With Tam Choyechot, all in one platter. Then we continue to actually in the Pesukim in Yecheskel. The Pasuk says what seems to be a contradiction. It says, V'nirpu Hamayim, the waters will become sweetened, they'll become healed. But then it says, Vitzosov Ugivov V'lo yerofu lemelech nitanu. But the bitzosav, which are the swamps and the gvav, and which are like stayed pools, they will not become healed. V'lo yerofu lemelech nitanu. They'll still be salt water. Gemara says, k'siv v'nirpu hamayim. The verse says that the waters will become sweet, they'll become healed. And then it says, v'yatamis v'lo yerofu hamayim, but it won't become sweetened. So Gemara says, no, this is talking about makom hu ushmo v'lo yirafu. This is talking about a place. It doesn't mean v'lo yirafu, it won't become sweet. This is the name of a place called v'lo yirafu. And there, the water will be salty. This place, v'lo yirafu, lamelach nitanu. That will still be for salt water. But all the other places, and many of the Mepharshim say, including the bitzosav u'gevav, even the swamps and the stayed pools of water, they'll also become sweet. Others say, no, it means also that the swamps and the pools, as well as v'lo yirafu, that place, they'll all stay salty. We continue darshin in the Psukim Siv. It says, "V'yala nachal yala el svaso mizeh mizeh kol eitz maichol lo yibol olehu v'lo yitom pirio l'chadoshav yivaker." Along this stream, there will be all different types of trees, and they won't wither, and they will give out peros l'chadoshav. They will give out months. It will have a new crop yivaker. It will have a new crop months. Now, the minimal amount of months is normally two. We dash near as follows. Tani, Amr Yehuda, Lefisha Ba'olam Azeh, nowadays, before this miracle will occur, Tvua Osel Shisha Chadashim, you can have two crops of wheat in 1 year. It's sometimes called the winter crop and the summer crop. That's with a grain. However, the trees, Ulilan Osel Shnei Moser Chodesh, the trees, they only have fruits once every year. But Avalosid Lavo, with this miraculous events, Hatvua Osel Chodesh Echad, grain will mature every month. So you'll have a new crop of wheat every month. The Elon and the trees, Osel L'Shnei Chadoshim, they will give new fruit every 2 months. Where do we get this from? My time up, that's what it means. L'Chadoshav Yivaker. L'Chadoshav means plural, months. And Miyut Rabim Ishtayim. So therefore, every 2 months, Yivaker, there will be a new crop of fruit. Alternatively, Amar Riyosi, Riyosi says, no. L'Fishav Olam Azetua, Osel L'Shisha Chadoshim, Elon Osel L'Shnei Moser Chodesh. Nowadays, it's 6 months for a crop of grain and 12 months for a fruit tree. It produces fruits once every 12 months. However, grain will go twice a month. Every 15 days, you'll get a new crop of grain, and each tree of Ilan Osel L'Chodesh Echad, each tree will give new fruit every month. And where do we see this from? A miracle occurred during the days of Yoel. They didn't have any rain, and they davened, and they davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought both of the rains, the Yoreh and the Malkosh, all within the days of the month of Nisan, and it started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and they had new crop ready for the Chodesh for the first day of Chol HaMoed. So that was a 15-day period of time. So you see that during the days of Yoel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that a crop could grow in 15 days. They carved Mimeno Omer, and they were able to actually bring the Omer from that new crop. My time, where did they get this from? It says, Ubnei Tzion Gilu V'Simchu, the people and being in Eretz Yisrael and Tzion, they were very, very happy. B'Hashem Elokeichem, ki nosa lechem esa more litztaka v'yore lechem geshem more u'malkosh barishon. He gave them all these special rains, the Yore and the Malkosh, during this early period of time in the month of Nisan, and it allowed them to have a crop in 15 days. But this is the problem. We just said, l'chadosh of yivaker, so by this ratio, if the grains are 15 days, so then it would mean the trees would have fruit every month. But we just said it takes l'chadoshav, months, 2 months to be mivaker. So how would Rav Yossi dash this pasuk? Umama kaim Rav Yossi lechadosh of yivaker. So Gemara says b'chol chodesh v'chodesh yemivaker. It means that every one of the months, that's lechadosh of yivaker. So each month we'll get a new crop of fruit from each tree. Then the Gemara says ba'aleu l'srufa. It says that its leaves will be a trufa. Trufa normally means like a pill. We call medicine trufa. So it means it will be for a refuah. So Rav Yochanan explains. Tarpe motzitz olea. Taraf is also a word that we use for mazon. Utraf mizona. So therefore, it means that a person will eat the leaves and they will sustain them. They'll give them sustenance. That's Rav Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Shmuel, they say, Chadamar, one of them said, Lahatir pe shilamalon. One said it opens up the upper mouth, the pe shilamalon, which means that it's referring here to the ability to give a person who's cachectic, a person who doesn't have an appetite, so it gives them an appetite, it opens up your upper mouth. And the other one, either Rav Shmuel said, it opens up the peh at the bottom, which refers to the rectum. If a person's constipated, this will allow them to move their bowels properly. That's the way our girsa is, that this is what Rav Shmuel say, and we have a machlokes, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they disagree. One said it means that when it opens up the peh lahatir trufa is talking about the opening up of the mouth, the peh, so it means that if a woman is barren, she doesn't able to open up her womb, so this would open up lahatir peh akaros, to open up the womb for the barren women. And the Chadamar, the other one, said either Ruchinin or Rishu Levi, lahatir peh ilmen, for people who couldn't speak, it will open up their mouths. So the way the Yerushalmi here in Shkalim has it is there's a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel versus Ruchinin and Rishu Levi. In the Bavli, it seems to suggest that they're all really saying the same thing. In any event, let's go by it. We go back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, Ulumasim Bitsofim V'chule. So we said the four southern gates, and then we went to the four northern gates. Ulumasim, opposite the southern gates, were the northern gates. And the first one we said was the Shar Yechonya. That was the most western of the four northern gates. And the Gemara talks about that a little bit. At Motzei Bishor, Sha'olim V'chen Selakan. This Shar Yechonya was opened up when Nebuch Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael. Bava Yosef Lo Bidofanei Shal Antuchia. He went to Antioch, Antuchia, which is a place in Syria. The Yotza Sanhedrin Gedola Likrosso. And he wasn't yet attacking Eretz Yisrael, but the Sanhedrin went to meet with him, the Amrulo, and they said to him, he gives Manabayas Azeli Choriv, are you coming to attack Klai Yisrael right now? Are you going to destroy the base of Mikdash? So Amrulhen, so the evil Nebuchadnezzar told them, Oso Shimlachti Alechem Tenuli. He had just put up Yechonya. He took him over. Yechonya took over from Yehoyakim, his father. He was the king for 11 years, and Yehoyachin was replacing him. And it was just 3 months and a couple of days, 10 days earlier that he had put him there. And he said, I want to take him now with me down to Bavel. So, Oso Shimlachti, that Yehoyachin that I put in as the king, on you, Alehem, Tenuli, give him to me, and I'm taking him to Bavel. And he brought also the Choresh and the Masker at that point in time, which was a great benefit for Klai Yisrael, that all of the leaders, the Sanhedrin, went down to Bavel and set everything up. So 11 years later, Nebuch, after the destruction of the base of Egypt, when Sitkio was exiled, so they already had a full infrastructure in place, and that's why the Golos Bavel was, quote, a successful Golos from a spiritual point of view. So, if you give me Yehoyachin and you don't fight me, I'll go back to Bavel. So, Bavel, Amrul Yehoyachin, Melch Yehuda, they went back to tell Yehoyachin there's a heavy price to pay for peace. And they told Yehoyachin, Nebuchadnezzar, Bailach, Nebuchadnezzar wants to take you back to Babel. Kivin Shishamim Hen Kach, Yehoyachin heard this, Notal Mavtechu Shabes HaMikdash, he took the keys to the Beis HaMikdash, Olu Lagagu Shleichel, he went up to the top of the Heichel, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and Amal HaFon, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, L'Sha'avar, Hayinu Ne'amonim Lecha, in the past, we were serving you with Nemanus, we were faithful to you, and your keys were in our hands. We opened the gates, we closed the gates, we opened the doors, we closed the doors, and we were in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. But now, your Nebuch, you're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, we're returning the keys to you. So we're returning back the keys to you. Now, Train Amoraim, we have the following machlokas between the following two Amoraim. We don't know who they are. Chad Omar, one of them said that Yehoyachin threw the keys, Zerakon, he threw them up in the Shemayim, Bodlo Yardu, and they never came down. In other words, they were taken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and symbolically showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decreed all of this, and he took back the keys to the Beis HaMikdash. The other Amor, V'chad Amar, Bo Kimin Yad, a hand came out of Shemayim, so to say, and took it from the hand of Yehoyachin. Again, tremendous miracles were done at this point in time. Now we get ready to turn to Yudzayin Omid Beis, Kivin Shiro, call Chorei Yehuda, when all the important people of Yehuda, the Chorei Yehuda, are chashuv, the people of Yehuda, so they saw this unbelievable miracle, so they saw it also in Nebuch, that the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed. So Alu L'Rosh Gag was saying, they went up to the rooftops of the Noflu V'Mesu, and they were so depressed that they fell off them, so to say, and I don't know if they committed suicide, actually, but they were so depressed that they fell off and they died. And Haduk Siv, this is explaining the pasuk that we have in Yeshaya, which says, Maso Gei Chizoyon. This is a nevuah about this valley of the Chizoyon, of the prophecy, of the vision. Malacha Efo, Kyoliso Kuloch Lagagos. All these people, they went up to the rooftops. So what happened to them over there? It was previously a very, very vibrant city. And now, the end of the pasuk, which we don't quote, that's the Vagomer, says that they all died, but not because of the Cherev and not because of the Muhammad. They died because they Nebuch was so depressed because of the destruction that was about to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Now we go to Halacha Gimel, the next Mishnah. Shloshos Shulchanos HaMikdash. There were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. There, of course, was the one main table which had the Lechem Apanim on it, which we'll talk about in a moment, but then there were these additional tables, a total of 13 tables. So where were these 13 tables? And the Mishnah tells us, Shmona Shoshayis, there were 8 that were made out of marble. And these were used to put the behemoths on when they did the shechita, the Beis HaMikdashayim. This was in the area of the Beis HaMikdash where they did the cutting up of the animals. Shaleim medichines hakirbayim. They would go and rinse out the intestines of these korbanos. We want to put up all the waste inside the intestines on the Mizbeach or wherever they were going to use them. So therefore they rinsed out from all the waste on these tables. These eight tables were to the north of the Mizbeach. Then there were two additional tables, Ushnayim b'marav kevesh. There were two tables that were west of the kevesh of the Mizbeach. And what did they do with these tables? Echad shel shayish, one had made out of marble. The echad shel kesef, one was made out of silver. And what did they do with these tables? Al shel shayish, on the marble one, nosed in evarim. They would put the various evarim, the limbs of the korbanos, on them until they were ready to bring them up to the kevesh and put them up on top of the Mizbeach to be sacrificed. So this would be, for example, the limbs of an Ola, the Al Shel Kesef, and on the table of Kesef, they would put clay sharis. They would put various utensils that they needed for the Avoda in the Azara. Every morning they would take them out. There were 93 utensils that they would take out, and they would put them on this table. Ushnayim, next two tables, were in the Ula. Ba'ula. The Ulam was the area that was right, the antechamber to the actual Hechel itself. So you went from the Mizbeach into an area that was known as Bein Ha'ulam the Mizbeach, and that entered from that space between the Mizbeach and the actual Hechel. So there was this space, and then they entered into the antechamber, which was the Ulam, which was wider than the Hechel. And they went, Mi Bachutz is the Girsa that we have, but it really should be Mi Bifnim Al Pesach HaBayis. It was inside of it on the opening to the Beis HaMikdash itself, to the actual Hechel itself, and they had these two tables there. Echad Shel Shayis, one was made out of marble, Echad Shel Zav, and the other was made out of gold. What did they do with these two tables? Al Shel Shayis, Nosen Lechem Aponim Chlisoso. When they were going in to bring in on Shabbos the new Lechem Aponim, so they would put them down on the table of Shayish. The more will explain why they put this Padavka on the table of Shayish. And then, Al Shel Zav Bitsiyoso. And when they left the Beis HaMikdash, they would take the Lechem Aponim that they would take off the table, they would put that on the golden table. And the Gemara will explain this. And the reasoning here that we go from Shayish to gold is Shemalim B'Kodesh Shalom reading. You can't go down when you're already on a golden table, you can't go bring it to a marble table. But from a marble table, you can go up to bring it to a golden table. Then this is a total of another two. So we had the eight that were to the north of the Mizbeach. We had the two that were to the west of the Kevesh. Now we had the two in the Ulam. So that's eight plus two is 12. And then you finally have the Shulchan, and that was the main shulchan that we have, where we put the lechem upon him on it, lefonai tomid. And that is referred to as echad shel zav mibifnim, shalo lechem upon him tomid. That's the main shulchan. Mora starts off and says, Tony, we learned in the Braisa, al shel kesef, that they didn't put the lechem upon him on a marble one in the ulam, but they put it on a silver one. And we have a gears over here that we're not going to be gorgeous in the parentheses, Rabbi Acha, the Rabbi Maisha, Umatu B'Shem Rav Shua Bar Rav Yitzchak. In any event, we have the Girsa of Rav Yossi B'Shem Rav Shua Bar Rav Yitzchak. He said also Rav Chananya Mati Bo B'Shem Rav Yochanan, or alternately, Rav Chananya said it in the name of Rav Yochanan, less Kan Shel Kesef. There wasn't one Shel Kesef, B'Meshu Martiach, because if you put it on silver, it would heat it up. And we were concerned that if you put the Lechem upon him on something that was hot, it would spoil it. Gemara says, wait a second, lo kein tani, but wait a second, we learn, ze'echa min anisim shenasim b'Beis HaMikdash, with the lechem upon him, there was a nes done, a miraculous event that occurred with the lechem upon him. It was piping hot all week long. It was on the shulchan, which we just spoke about, the golden lechem upon him shulchan, and it stayed piping hot all week long. And it says, they put it down when it was hot, a week later it was still piping hot. Shenema, losum lechem chom b'yomin lachom. It was just as hot when they put it down as when they took it off. So if this is a miracle that's piping hot, so what difference does it make if they put it on a silver table or a marble table? So where it says, Rishu ben Levi Omar, e maskir mais anisim. As the Tiklun Chadad tells us, lo lismoch al anes. Yes, this was a miracle that happened, but you couldn't rely upon it. So you couldn't put it on a silver table and say, ah, big deal if it gets hot, it will spoil it. No, you put it on a marble table, you have to do what you have to do, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it stay piping hot, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anes, but ein somchim al anes. E maskir mais anisim. Mora has Bon Kume, now the Girsa has Rabbi Levi, but it should be Rabbi Elah. Bon Kume, Rabbi Elah, he asked the following Shaila of Rabbi Elah, Lo Hoya Shom Lechem Mahul Anicho L'Shabbos Abba. They asked Rabbi Elah the following question. What happens if they didn't have Lechem upon him? So there are two possibilities. Either they didn't have it on Shabbos and they would put it on a weekday, so they would put it on when they could, or they didn't have new Lechem upon him, so could they leave the old Lechem upon him still on the table for the following week? So Amalun, so Rabbi Loi told them, Siv, the Pasuk says, Venosata al shulchan lechem panim lufanai tamid. It has to be on it all the time. Lechem panim has to be there all the time. Afilu pasul, even if it's spoiled. Now, this would seem to imply that, yes, you could leave it on there, but the answer to the question is, if you left it on there, it would become pasul because of lina, because it stayed on too long. But the Gra and others delete these, lechem panim afilu pasul, and they say, lechem panim, it should be, and the Tikkun Chaditim has this gears as well, lefilu hu kama yomim, even if it's only for a couple of days, or even if it's more than a couple of days, it's more than a week. And therefore, it is not pasul belina, that's the gears that they have. Gemara now says, Asaru Shulchan Asar Shlomo, we quote a Braisa, this is a Tosefta in Menachos, which the Gemara in Menachos quotes, which tells us that Shlomo Melech, in addition to the one main Shulchan for the Lechem upon him, he made an additional 10 Shulchanos, and he's surrounded, the Gemara in the Babli says that, according to one Girsa, the real Shulchan that the Lechem upon him was on was in the middle, and you had 5 Shulchanos to the right of it, and 5 Shulchanos to the left of it. The Gemara here in Shkolim doesn't discuss where the real Shulchan was, it just tells us that Shlomo Melech made an additional 10 Shulchanos. The Pasuk tells us, V'yah Shulchanos Asari, Shlomo Melech made 10 additional tables, V'yanach Behechol, they were put inside the Hechol, Chamisha Miyamin, Chamisha Bismol, 5 to the right and 5 to the left. Now, what does that mean, 5 to the right and 5 to the left? So, Im Tamar, if you're going to tell me Chamisha Bedarim, Chamisha Betzafon, then it meant 5 on the southern side and 5 on the northern side, so then you got a problem. Balo, Eina Shulchan Kasher, El Betzafon. The Shulchan has to be on the northern side. The menorah is on the southern side. The Shulchan is on the northern side. So, if you're putting 5 Shulchanos on the northern side, so those 5 are good. But the 5 that you're putting on the southern side, they would be no good. How do we know that? Balo, Ein Shulchan Kasher, El Betzafon. Shinam, the Pasuk says, the Gears that we have is Vesa Shulchan, but it really should be Veha Shulchan Titein, Al Tzela Tzafon. It has to be on the northern side. Matam Lomer. So therefore, what does it mean when it says that he put 5 to the right and 5 to the left? Chamisha miyamin, chamisha mismol. What does it mean? El means el chamisha miyamin shulchano shel Moshe v'chamisha mismolo. It means that he put 5 to the right of the shulchan shel Moshe, which was the shulchan. Shlomo Melech made an additional 10 in addition to the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he put 5 to the left. But they all were on the northern side, so he was able to fit them in all on the northern side. So Afal Pekin, where it says, Lo Yom Esadir Elam Shel Moshe Bavad. But even though you have these other 10 tables there, they always put the Lechem upon him. The Braisa tells that they always put the Lechem upon him, always on the Shulchan Shel Moshe, and never on the additional 10 tables that Shlomo Melech put there. As the Pasuk says, Shnei Mesa Shulchan Asher Olav Lechem upon him, the Shulchan. That implies that it's only a single Shulchan and not the extra 10 Shulchans that Shlomo HaMelech made. That is the first opinion that we have. However, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Omer, he says, no, Al-Kulan Yamasada, they could pick whichever one they wanted. And they would put it sometimes on the one from Moshe and sometimes on one of the other 10 tables that Shlomo HaMelech made. Where does he get this from? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Es HaShulchanos V'aleim Lechem Aponim, that they put him on all the Shulchanos, the Lechem Aponim, meaning sometimes on this one, sometimes on that one. Finally, Tani, we learn another Braisa, Mizrach U'Marav, the east and on the west, Hayu Nesunim, that they were arranged in the east and west of the Heichal, Divri Rebbe. Rebbe says that's where the Shulchanos were, on the eastern side and on the western side. In other words, all on the north. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, however, Omer, Sofam Medarma Yunusum. No, they were put, some of them, 5 on the north and 5 on the south. So Gemara says, Mandi Omer Mizruch Marav, according to the opinion of Rebbe, that says they were all on the northern side. Just 5 of them were Mizrach and 5 of them were Marav, no problem. Nicha, everything works out very, very well. Kulam, Ru'i, and L'sheiros. Then all of them could be used, because the Shulchan, if you're telling me that they use all the 10 Shulchanos of Shlomo, as well as the Shulchan of Moshe, so they all have to be on the northern side. So if you say that all 10 of them were on the northern side, just 5 on the western part of the northern side, 5 on the eastern part of the northern side, no problem. Nicha, works out very well. They all could be used for Sheiros, they all could be used to have the Lechem upon them on them occasionally. But according to the opinion of Elazar and Shimon, Man, the Omar, Tzofa, Medaron, so then you're saying 5 are in the north, 5 in the south. Nimsa, Shulchan, Medaron, you have the 5 tables in the south. How could you ever put the Lechem upon him on that? And the Gemara is left with a teku, with a tzarich iyun. This is a good point to stop. With this, we conclude today's share.